Hey friends, we wanted to take a quick minute and personally invite you to two really special gatherings coming this fall. First, our intentional motherhood retreat in Portland, Oregon, October 15th through the 17th, and then our intentional fatherhood retreat in Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Honestly, these retreats have become so much more than events for us. They've become spaces where people encounter God, experience healing, honesty, friendship, freedom, and real transformation. We live in a world that is full of information. We have podcasts, books, content, advice, but transformation requires more than information. Sometimes you need space, you need community, you need honesty, you need the presence of God, and you need to get around other people who are fighting for the same things you are. At these events, we've watched marriages soften again. We've watched fathers come out of hiding. We've watched mothers breathe deeply again. We've watched people feel seen, known, challenged, and deeply encouraged. And we would genuinely love for you to join us. You can learn more and grab tickets at intentionalparents.org. And for all things fatherhood, you can visit intentionalfatherhood.org. We hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. All right, we are back and we are all together, the Intentional Parents Podcast. Elizabeth's here, Phil and Diane.
Yay.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
I know that we recently, a little bit ago, did an episode all about some conflict we had, mm-hmm. and it was around the idea of if we were going to do Christmas or not, and if we could celebrate together and different things like that. And if you're forgetting what episode we're talking about, I'll link it in the show notes and you can look there. But yeah, how did we do, everybody? We made it. We've all made it.
We did.
We came
to Christmas.
Yes. Couldn't miss it. But we had to do a lot of work, and it was a beautiful time though. We did our Christmas celebration in our favorite. I think we did our Christmas episode about mm-hmm. our favorite tradition, and we did the tradition together. Yep. Someone almost started on fire. I think it was Birdie. Like her got real close. That candle got real close to her hair, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. I missed a few guitar chords because it was so dark in there. I couldn't see my left hand.
Well, John Mark was like, "Let's turn off the lights," and I was like thinking he'd have like maybe the
Christmas tree.
You're supposed to keep the Christmas tree on. Yeah. And he turned it off.
He was like, "We're saving energy." Well, he had a fire going, but the fire for whatever reason was real dull at that moment, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you were in the dark playing, but you did great. I couldn't believe how you still followed along. Yeah.
And it was still just as magical as it always is. I looked over at one point at 3-year-old Sloane, and you could just see her so enthralled for the moment, mm-hmm. leaning into her mom and the candle and listening to the story told by your uncles and aunts and grandparents and cousins. Yeah. And you could just see it was just capturing her heart.
It was beautiful.
I never saw that. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find the C-sharp minor. There was a few non-magical music moments.
Which you did a really great job of even strumming while all of us were reading
but
for
it
a
was
long
all
time.
Holy Night. You can't mess that up.
Yeah, you did a great job. I think I only heard one really big blunder.
Yeah, there was really one bad one.
There was one bad one, but it's fine. We made it through. And thank you for everybody that participated. I know some of you went online and obviously through social media, you filmed your own family and sent some into us. So thank you for showing us and inviting us into your mm-hmm. home, one of our traditions passed on. So we hope that helps. And on the topic of family and family tension, the question today we want to just tackle is to vaccinate or not vaccinate. That is the question.
Yeah, Shakespeare, to be or not to be. Yeah, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, really? Not a loaded topic at all.
No,
not at all. But we're actually, you know, we had a lot of discussion about if we were going to talk about this topic.
Primarily because it is a really divisive topic. And it's a divisive time. There's a lot of misunderstanding, or rather a lot of just very opinionated sides, and not a lot of love. And what we're seeing more and more is that, you know, when people aren't living in community, like COVID kind of pushes us into this even more extreme individualism than we already are in. So you have your own, you know, opinions, your own view, and then you obviously aren't doing life as actively in community, whether that's with your biological family, your family of origin, or even your own community at church. And we're just seeing like this rise of anger and divisiveness in the family specifically. And we're just seeing, I know stories from our own lives where we're seeing just divisiveness and pain in all sorts of different, really, really good meaning families. And so we, through the prayer and the power of the Spirit, just sense that we are supposed to actually talk about this, but we're probably not going to talk about it in a way that you might think. And so we're going to talk about Jesus's heart. I want to be really clear up front. We're not picking a side. We're not saying right or left, or, you know, right or wrong, or vaccinate or not vaccinate. We're actually going to talk about the heart of Jesus and really talk about his heart for your family and how to tackle this topic with wisdom, with love, with his Spirit. And so one of the verses I know that we're going to, I'll just start with this verse, but I know, Phil, I already see your Bible open, and I know we have a lot of different verses. We're going to kind of just help create and paint the picture specifically of God's heart. But it's 1 Corinthians 16:14. If you've never read it, I'll just read it to you. It's everything you must do, everything you do must be done with love is the verse there. And that idea, everything, is actually everything in the scriptures.
Everything means everything. Say that again.
Everything you do must be done with love.
We should all memorize that.
Yeah, I just did. Everything you do must be done with love. First Corinthians 16:14.
But I think that everything is so important, because I feel like we're hearing this verse used a lot to say we should all be vaccinating. That's loving people. But I think what we want to talk about more than anything is how do we disagree and love each other?
Exactly.
Even within a family, how do we vehemently disagree, like strongly disagree with each other and love each other? And it's super hard, but I think we can see that Jesus did that. And even the scripture, we're called to everything, not this one medical thing or this like everything.
Everything falls in that category,
And you know, we've said before that the Comer family are all very opinionated. They love to research to make sure they support their opinions in an argument. And that has happened with the vaccine, to vaccine or not to vaccinate, just like every other thing that we feel passionately about. But in this one time, you know, we tell you all of our faults and flaws and failures, but this one time, I have, as a mom, sat back in really, especially at Christmas, in wonder and awe that I feel like this time, especially all the adult kids, got it right. I feel like I'm so proud of my kids this in this particular moment, that even though there are different opinions about and well-educated thought through research opinions amongst each other as far as whether it's best to vaccine and who to vaccine and not to vaccine and how often to vaccine and, you know, vaccinate, and, you know, that they seem to be maybe more than ever before respectful of each other's and honoring of each other's research, intelligent decisions that might differ or maybe nuanced slightly from each other. And I just, for me as a mom, seeing that, remembering how they started arguing practically from the minute they entered this world. And I was just, honestly, it just fills me with so much hope and thrills me to see that I'm proud of the research my kids have done over this topic. And I'm really even more in awe of the strength of character that will not allow them to just do what somebody's telling them to do.
Or
would get the most amount of approval, but to be kind, the fact that they're being kind to each other in this process, and it is a process, because no decision is, you know, our we could change our minds next week, I'm just so thrilled to see our family disagreeing in a harmonious way.
Yeah.
So there, well, I've said it. I love it.
I think, though, like, as a kid, I could still call myself a kid, in our family, like, you guys have also led the way with that and been really respectful of our decisions. While also, this is not a situation where we're like, okay, well, we're just going to silently accept what the other person has done and we're just not going to talk about it as a family.
Right.
We're having honest conversations, even you, Mom, like, bringing, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And we're talking back and forth with each other. Still all of us kind of landing in the same, with the same opinions, but listening to each other's research. And I think that you guys have really led the way with that. I think maybe you've always led the way with that in how you've approached us as adults. Like, I remember you guys saying, and you honestly do this, you like vowed to each other when we all got married that you would never speak negatively about our spouse to each other, that you would love our spouses exactly like you love your kids. And in your, with your kids, you know, as parents, you see no fault in your kids unless maybe they're a toddler or a teenager, which we have both of now.
Or any age. I'm not blind because I'm a parent.
You think your kids are the best because they are. They're your kids.
I don't actually think that. I think my kids have no, I just mean, like, I think our kids have an honest objective.
You see their flaws.
Like,
you see,
like, who they actually are, and like, whoa, if I don't help them with that, life's going to, and it's going to be a lot harder if life helps them, so I should help them.
Exactly.
I guess that's what I mean. I know what your heart is, though. Yes, I hear you.
Totally. But I think you've set that tone with us as adults, is what I'm trying to say, of that we can talk about stuff, that we respect each other no matter what, even if we totally disagree, we respect each other.
Yeah.
So I'm just so grateful for that, and to see it actually fleshing out in action where we have a topic. I think we've all kind of seen somewhat eye to eye on stuff as adults. There's never really been a major topic like this where we just, but there's ongoing debate.
But what we keep seeing, and it is so true, and I know so many of you listening are in this space. You are at a family holiday or even just on a group text with the family, and there's tension and there's judgment and there's loud opinions. And you got that one family member.
Or there's silence because, you know,
someone's really loud. It has its own weight.
Yes.
But you have the shame. You have some alienation. Some physically will not be in the same room as another person who might be vaccinated or not vaccinated. And what we're seeing is just such a movement away from God's heart. And so we want to be so honest. And, you know, here we are very honest about our mess ups, and we're honest about this. Like, I don't even think we've gotten this all right by any means, but I do think that there's been something that the scriptures have highlighted for all of us, that by God's grace and his help, we've stepped into in obedience by his wonderful help to love each other in spite of differences. And honestly, there's a space and there is a place, even if you've never experienced it within your family, where you can disagree very passionately and love very passionately all at the same time. And I know for some, you don't even know what that means or looks like. And so today what we want to do is just really try to help paint that picture and show you what the Bible says about that, what our experience has been. And it wouldn't be fair if we didn't give you some like guidelines or maybe rather points to follow through with. Because honestly, I know for us, this just helps us all structure what we're trying to accomplish here. But Phil, before we go through some of these points, I'm not sure if you want to share after the point, but do you have something you want to share on this before we jump into the
points? Oh, sure. I got a few thoughts.
I know you do. I can see you thinking.
Yeah, you know, this is a huge issue in the church, you know, and for believers, you know, dividing over this issue. And pastors, you know, who we know are they have community groups that are dividing right in their church. It's become a divisive thing, and I just think it should never be. This should not be this like we're talking something that should be talked out, but it should never become an anger, divisive issue, and pointing the finger and all of that. But it has,
and it's not
this.
A sin issue.
No.
It's just not a sin issue, and we need to make sure that we are really have that front and center.
Yeah, and you know, we may talk about this later in this podcast, but you know. The evil one who's out to cause disunity is because Jesus prayed for unity. I mean, in the high priestly prayer of John 17, he prayed that we would be one, that the world might know who he is. And so Satan is always going to get his sticky little fingers in there anywhere he can to divide husbands and wives and the family, because we're not, and get us fighting with each other, when our real enemy in Ephesians 6 is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are our enemies. And we wage not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And so it looks like you're going
to
say something.
Oh, I just wanted to add that I've heard you say before, Phil, just I wanted you to say it, just that unity doesn't mean that we agree.
Well, yeah. In fact, you know, in the church, you know, as a pastor, one of the things that I love, and many churches operate this way, is really simple. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, diversity. And in all things, love. So in essentials, unity. When it comes to how are we saved, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, his atoning death on the cross.
Yeah, I'm laughing because right now you're talking, and I literally pulled up this quote that I read this morning, and it's in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty. Well, all things, charity.
I think the Lord wanted that in this podcast. Yes, but, you know, there are certain things that are just, they're just tenets of the faith that we cannot disagree on. Because they're doctrinally solid. But in non-essentials, diversity, and this is where those differences of opinion, and in all things, love. Yes. And when we stop, you know, it's our job to love people. It's God's job to judge people, because only God knows the whole facts, because he sees inside. He sees my heart. He sees all of our hearts, and he knows what's really going on. He knows the motives behind even the actions, and so only he can judge. And so that's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, do not judge. And if you do, you're going to, whatever you sow, that will you shall reap. It says in the New Testament, so do not judge lest you be judged yourselves, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged. Yeah. And by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. So you know, this is clearly not an essential. It's something that is an issue of diversity. And so I just wanted to read a few verses from Romans 14, you know, where it was a different issue. The issue wasn't vaccination. It was eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Yeah. What do we do? And people were judging each other. You can't eat that meat because it was in a pagan market. And well, to me, it's just a piece of meat, you know. And so they would argue over this. And in Romans 14, Paul's giving instruction on how to deal with the situation. And he says, one man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. And I say, he who gets vaccinated for the Lord, or doesn't, you know. For he who gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. And it goes on and says, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. We're part of the family of God. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And then in verse 13, you want to say something, babe?
I just love the word contempt at the very beginning. Would you reread that phrase that had contempt? Because that's what we hear everywhere, is contempt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. Yeah, that's good. Verse 13 says, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. And I'm almost done here. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, or I'd say, or vaccinating or not vaccinating, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another.
Wow.
You know, and then Paul said in Corinthians, of course, the end of chapter 12, he said, I show you a more excellent way, which is the way of love. And then he talks about love.
You know? I love that. Well, as you were even reading, like I said, I was reading this morning, and that quote's at the top of this book, but I don't know if everybody knows this, but there's actually a spiritual discipline of unity. So there's actually this spiritual discipline of specifically trying to be united with other people. And some of the practice includes, I'll just read a couple of them, and it's a beautiful practice, but working with believers from various traditions to achieve kingdom purposes, finding points on which you agree with others, not simply points on which you disagree, refraining from speaking unkind or texting or jumping online, Instagram and typing unkind, slanderous, and divisive things against others in the body of Christ, distinguishing between biblical principles and your personal convictions regarding those principles.
Well, that's really an exposition really of verse 19. Let us pursue the things that make for peace.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So unity, you know, there's a spiritual discipline. Like if you're a person following Jesus, there's a spiritual discipline of actually deciding to be in unity with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from the scripture you just read, that passage is beautiful, Phil. Goes right into this. But look into that. I'd encourage you. One of my favorite books is the Spiritual Discipline Handbook. Get it. It's great. But there's a lot of different spiritual disciplines even around this. And so what we're trying to get to is the heart of God. This is the heart of God, that we would pursue unity and pursue each other really well. So let's get into these points today. So how do we become a place and become a community or a family that's loving and making Jesus the center of it and bringing people in, and even in our disagreements, we can love well and love as Jesus did? The first thing we need to do is we need to turn to each other, not against each other. Need to turn to. So this topic of unity, we need to choose to do that. We need to choose to actually do that. So thoughts on that?
Well, I just, the first thought that came to mind is like, I just, I can't even remember where I was, where I heard it, but it was a doctor talking about how the results of depression and loneliness and isolation are just as detrimental to your health as anything else, like cancer, all sorts of things. And so I think it's so easy to turn against each other and say, I'm only going to surround myself with people that agree with me, especially on this topic. And I will only be in a room with people that agree with me about this topic. And yet we're not realizing what we are sacrificing, that we were made to live together, to live in unity, to be surrounded by each other. And we're actually doing not just like going against how God designed us, but we're actually doing ourself and our health and our body a large disservice by turning against each other. Like I think God obviously so in so many ways emotionally and physically made us to live together.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
You know, Proverbs 18:1, I have it underlined, says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. So it's a selfish thing, because we were created by God to live in community. And you know, marriage is a community as well, and our family is a community, and our church is a community, and we can't just be, you know, the Lone Ranger out there saying, this is what I think. And
And the first community that God created was a family. It wasn't a town or a state or a country. It was, wasn't even a church. It was a family, a husband and a wife and siblings, children. And there, more than any place else, this is where we start. And this is, you know, I can't control the government or the elected officials, or I can't control the news outlets. I can't control anybody but myself.
That's so true.
I can't even actually control my family.
I
can certainly assert very strong matronly or matriarchal we need to be a strong unified family more than ever, and we need to be a strong unified family for the sake of our children more than anybody else. Duke and Scarlett and Birdie and Moses and Jude and
Sunday and
Sunday
Sloan.
And who am I missing?
Sloan.
They need to see
future grandkids in
with
Jesus'
all
name.
This chaos they need to see that Uncle Johnny and Aunt Elizabeth love each other and are able to debate, and that Elizabeth and Auntie, or they call her Uncle Becca.
That is funny. I don't know how that happened, but they do call it that.
cannot agree, and they can do it with all the fervency that the Comers are known for, and the Mosers are coming up to be. They're not going to be a mild person there.
No, we don't have mildness.
And that that they're with each other, they're for each other, they are giving to each other. That is what we can do, and that's why in Intentional Parents, that's why we're addressing that. It's not our business to go into politics or even church politics or anything like that. It's our business to kind of show a way for families. There is a way for families to be able to navigate this and come out on the other side, not just not speaking to each other, but actually unified.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, even as you were talking, I had this sense from the Spirit, and I'm very slow to do this, and this might not be from the Spirit at all, but I do sense that a few that are going to be listening to this might be elevating this topic to a point where you are deciding for this over your family. And I feel like the Spirit is just inviting, not judging, not shaming, but inviting you to stop and lay down the sword, because this is not something that is worth dividing or ruining your current and future, and even more important, future relationship with your family and the mm-hmm. generations to come. And so wherever you're at, please just hear the heart of Jesus's invitation. It's put down the sword. This isn't worth it. You know, it's not worth it at all. Phil, you're going
to
say something.
No, just, yeah, this first point, we need to turn to each other, not against each other. I think as followers of Jesus, we should be the ones that if, you know, unity takes both parties. Yes. But if there's not going to be unity, it shouldn't be because of us. Because yes. Romans 12:18 yes. says, if possible, mm-hmm. so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men.
Yes.
I love that if possible is in there, because sometimes it's not possible. Because yeah. the other party won't reconcile.
Yes.
Whatever. But yes. I think what we're talking about, as far as we are concerned in our families, we mm-hmm. who claim to be passionate Jesus followers yes. and want to be, should be the ones who turn to each other and pursue the way of peace.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think with that whole idea, it's, we have to have lots of love. We have to have lots of understanding, lots of room for differing opinions, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of people that have different opinions than I do, and that's okay. And that's, there's space for that. And we need mm-hmm. to make space for that. That's mm-hmm. actually really important. One of the things that we've seen with the pandemic has brought out this idea that we are already incredibly individualistic due to culture, but it just like made that problem worse. Mm-hmm. And so the more individualistic and inward thinking that we become, it's the harder it is to think like, well, there's other people that actually completely differ mm-hmm. on my opinion and are still doing okay, you know? And maybe I wouldn't choose it for me. It's not my thing, but your conviction does not have to be everyone else's, as I think we even talked about in the idea of unity. So the first thing we mm-hmm. need to do is turn to each other, not against each other. The second thing, we need to hear each other with compassion, not judgment. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we talked about that a little bit, you know, the idea of, Phil, you already shared that on not judging, but we need to hear each other with compassion because even as I just said, not everyone has the same story. You know, right. Elizabeth and I actually don't even have the same story as a lot of people. And it's interesting because a lot of people will ask, are you pro-vaccine? Are you against it? You know, and I always say like, well, our situation is unique. We have a vaccine injured child. And that was a really like, she was injured from that. And there's a lot of things that go into us just all of a sudden deciding upon a vaccine. We're not against the vaccine, but we're also not
not anti-vaccine, but
we can't just,
we have to for do a lot
her,
of research.
As an example, we can't just do something.
Or children with, and this is in Bertie's case, with mm-hmm. neurological difficulties
yes.
are a different category. And doctors, you really need to be turning to your doctor
oh, yeah.
for mm-hmm. support there. And
at the same time, there was a couple year period of her life where she was severely immunocompromised.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to make drastic decisions. Mm-hmm. It was a pandemic of our own where we had to quarantine mm-hmm. and isolate. Yeah. And there was so much fear, and I would have done anything to protect her. So I feel like more than any other topics in my life, I can see both sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can gain that perspective, and I don't think it's just that you have to have an experience like we've had to be able to see mm-hmm. both sides. Mm-hmm. I think you have to make a choice mm-hmm. that compassion looks like understanding what somebody else is bringing into mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. And what story they might have or stories their families might have mm-hmm. that help form the strong opinions that they have about it. Yeah. And when I think about the life of Jesus, he didn't walk around shaming people, yelling out his opinion, and then walking away. No. Like, nobody wants to follow a God who does that. No. Nobody wants to be around anybody right. who does that. Yeah. And yet yeah. that's what we're doing right now so often in culture. But he was a part of their life. He was living in community with them.
Yes.
He was strong in his convictions and in his heart of love to see people go a better way. But he knew their stories. He spoke mm-hmm. directly into their stories mm-hmm. and he stayed in relationship and community mm-hmm. with them, not wavering from his strong truth, like yeah. what he was speaking the truth. But he did it with so much compassion and staying in people's lives, even if they chose not to follow him. And I think that is how I want to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what compassion actually looks like. Not compassion when we agree and we can relate to somebody's story,
mm-hmm.
but compassion when we disagree, we can't relate to their story, but we need to know their story and ask questions about it. Not questions yeah. to try to prove our point and get them caught and they don't know what they're talking about, but empathetic questions for understanding, I think, is so important right now.
If you're listening to this and you're irritated, like really irritated that we're not picking a side, then I would just really encourage you to look into your own heart. Like, what is it that disturbs you so much about somebody not picking a side that is disagreeing or agrees or disagrees with you? That's not real life. Like, that's not the way of Jesus. Phil, I can't remember the scripture. I'm sure you know where it's at, but it's basically, you know, how much better are you if you surround yourself with people that agree with you, think like you, that are just comfortable with you, that, you know, that concept that like how much better are you, right? Yes. It's like, it's actually biblical in many ways to sort of.
Yeah, that's right, in the Sermon on the Mount. I think we read it in a podcast recently.
I'm sure we
did. It's right here in Matthew 5. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Exactly. Not even the tax gatherers do the same. And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?
Yes.
So that's when God's talking about loving your enemies.
Yes,
you know?
Loving
and you're
those.
Right about Jesus. He looked, and actually, we're talking about compassion here. That's what the Bible actually says in Matthew 9. He looked at the multitudes and felt compassion for them because they were distressed and sheep, like downcast sheep without a shepherd. And he is compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we need to put on compassion, which reminds me of another verse. Can I share another verse?
Oh, please.
That fits with this point. So in Colossians 3, I love Colossians 3. It's saying what we need to put off and what we need to put on, right?
Yeah.
And when we put on compassion, we're actually putting on Jesus. But it says in verse 12 of Colossians 3, and so as those who have been chosen of God, and just think about that, God has saved us, invited us into his family, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. So first word, put on a heart of compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity.
Yes.
So the first thing we're to put on is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
That's a deep seated
and that leads to
you
unity.
Know, feeling. It leads to unity. Yeah.
Yes.
And unity is like the belt that wraps all those things together.
Oh. Hear each other with compassion.
Beautiful.
Not judgment. And the third one and final one, but I know this is a loaded one too, is we need to sacrificially help each other through this hard time, not withdraw into self-centered seclusion. We actually have a responsibility to help each other, to be present, to listen, not just for our own good, but for other people. That's biblical love. We say it often here, is to will the good of the other. I've came across this quote, Basil of Caesarea says, the creator arranged things so that we need each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He arranged things so that we actually need family. We actually need, like living a life in seclusion is so lonely and dark. And Elizabeth and I were talking about this earlier. We were talking about, it's so funny when it comes to having kids. It's like you get all the blessing and all the hard parts of that all at once. And if you don't have kids, you get this fictitious idea of like freedom for a good amount of time, only until you get older and older. And what we see often is people that have maybe not had kids or couldn't have kids or didn't decide to have kids. You see this emptiness at the end of their life that seems to just be a vacuum of despair. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not everybody, obviously, but we do see this like big void in people's lives. And it's just so interesting how God designed it. Like, it's messy, it's super hard, but like, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. It's like so challenging. Like being in relationships with people that disagree with you is so hard and it's really messy. And it's also the very thing that life comes in and through and the way God designed it. So he designed us to need each other, but I know that's just my thought on that real quick, but other thoughts.
And I think, Elizabeth, this has been a hard year for your family. On top of the pandemic, harder things than just the pandemic. And you've seen your family jump into your life.
Yeah.
But it took you asking for help. And that's a really hard thing to do. You want to say anything about that, about how you overcame some of your hesitancy and then what you saw as a result of that?
Therapy.
Oh, man. Lots of therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so much I could say. But I think what was so beautiful about Christmas was the conversations that we had in the month leading up to it that were the most honest, real, like me really letting the whole family into what this year had been like, and me recognizing that the times that I maybe thought that I was speaking up or communicating that I needed help, I, in my mind, I was being more clear than was I actually was. I can tend to be, I'm really passionate about a lot of things, but with certain things I can come across more mild than I actually feel on the inside.
And they felt more like hints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Shouldn't everybody just magically know and pick up on all of my hints? Yeah.
Yes.
Not a good way
to go
through
relationships.
You want to know
what one of our marital tension points are. Like, I'm sorry I couldn't figure out exactly what you needed when you needed it by you not saying anything and me just should know.
I think that's pretty universal.
I think it is.
That makes me feel not so alone. It makes me feel not alone.
But I think when we are feeling isolated and lonely or misunderstood, we often just wait for somebody to reach out to us, and somebody should just know, and our family should be more involved, and our family should be able to talk about this topic, and yet there's just silence. But when we actually talk about Jesus speaking truth in love, he spoke. He didn't just stay silent, and that's the loving thing to do. And I think in a family, we have to be able to speak up. We have to be able to ask for help. With also not having an expectation that your family's going to save you and rescue you, but you have to give them a chance and speak up. I think that's been a huge thing that I've learned this year. And we can say what we're feeling or our difference of opinion. Like, I think about just this topic in general, vaccines. Like, it doesn't mean that you have to completely like go away from what you feel passionate about. But you can say it in such a way that is so loving, that is taking the responsibility upon yourself, that says, you know what, I love you. This is not about you. But because of what I have on my heart, this is what I'm feeling comfortable with for this family gathering or whatever. But instead of blaming the other person because you won't be vaccinated or because, you know, whatever it may be, whatever, wherever you land in the topic. But I think being able to speak up in it and start a conversation in your family is huge. And I think sometimes that's, it feels like this huge barrier, but if we're willing to take that risk, because it is a risk, so much beauty can come out of it.
Because what I see happen in that is, what I watched is, I watched you invite your brothers and your sister and sister-in-laws into your own difficulty and your pain. And I think everybody was kind of waiting for an invitation, because you always seem like you have it so together, which you do. You're very capable and competent, but you know, and you smile because you have joy, even in the midst of difficulty. But it was a clear invitation for everybody to think, okay, so what's my part? Your sister got on an airplane and flew up twice. Has she done that now? To stop her work week and come and relieve you for the sake of relationship.
Thank you, Bex.
You know, your brothers have just offered, you know, kindness and prayers and encouragement and asking questions that they probably wouldn't have asked if you hadn't invited them into it. And Tammy's come up a few times and made sure she was part of it. She's made the kids more available to you. I mean, it's just, it opened doors for all of us to say, we want to live a life of love.
Yes.
How do we love Elizabeth and Brooke through this? You know, your brothers, the brothers really became probably the closest this year I've ever seen them, because they rallied around helping you, and some you guys kind of made some commitments to each other.
Oh yeah, it's been a huge thing, and to have, you know, it takes a couple of things. So it takes everyone being on board. It takes everyone respecting and loving each other. Like if one of us was off the rails, like it wouldn't work, right? But as everyone's talking, the topic, that the word that keeps coming to my mind about this topic, and I think this is maybe one of the ways in which the enemy has come in and distorted reality a little bit, is this has become an idol for some people. This has become idolatry. And I was reading recently about the topic of idolatry, because I didn't fully understand it. And I was actually reading a book from Dallas Willard, who talked about it. And he says, idolatry is a mistake about reality. And he talks about idolatry tries to meet the need in your life by assigning powers to an object of human imagination that it can't actually possess. So it's that idea that we have this safety Maybe for some of you, it's safety in not being vaccinated or controlled, mm-hmm. or maybe it's in being vaccinated so that there is control, mm-hmm. whatever it is. But these things can quickly become idols of mm-hmm. our heart. And I think the invitation of Jesus, even as we're reading the scripture and talking today, isn't to put our hope in these things. These things are things we need to talk about, be educated about, be wise about, be thoroughly thoughtful about. But they're not Jesus, and they're not your life, and they're not what is going to bring hope and life and healing.
They're not our trust structure. I love that word. I keep hearing it bandied about, and it's becoming more real than ever. But we can't make our only real trust structure is Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock that will withstand the storms. And it's not how we approach health. It's not how we spend our money, or don't spend our money. Those aren't good trust structures because there's too many factors we can't control.
I used to say idolatry is any person, place, or thing that's more important to me than God himself.
Yes.
But I think a better definition is placing my trust in any person, place, or thing than Jesus Christ himself. That's placing something above the Lord himself. And the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so and that's not because he wants to lord it over us. It's because that's where life is when we were made to be with God moment by moment, what Diane calls living led.
Yeah.
And not being sidetracked.
And that's why Ephesians 4:31 says we need to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior.
Yeah.
And then it says, instead of that, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that sums up.
That's it.
That's it. And I know you pointed us to that verse, Diane, and I think that was by the very prophetic, very helpful.
It's been a favorite Comer family verse because we are all strong, opinionated people who like to do our research. But one of the words that's just standing out to me right now is this word tenderhearted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tenderhearted rather than hard-hearted. And if we are going to do what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, live a life of love, the only way to do that is if we stay tenderhearted towards each other.
Yes.
And, you know, Jefferson Bethke has done some really great work on the idea of family teams, that it's not like kind of what we were taught. You raise your children for 18 years, and then you send them off and, you know, they're completely separate. You actually stay a team. And it has been Phil's and my dream and desire that long after we're gone, the brothers and sisters and brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law will be, even before we're gone, they will be taking that place and they will be their strong support to each other. But then even more, and we're unlikely to live old enough to see it happen, that even the cousins would when one of, you know, the teenage years and the college years are notoriously times when faith can take a hit and one or more can stumble. And, you know, maybe as in those kind of races where you hand off the little, what are those
baton.
Called?
Baton.
Yeah,
baton.
Yeah, you know, that can be dropped, okay?
Yeah.
But our vision or dream has been that maybe another cousin, because of the friendship has been so strong for so many years, will actually help that stumbling one and get him to the finish line. And I'm probably mixing all sorts of sports metaphors and just murdering them.
We're not
you
a sports family.
I'm not an athlete.
But you definitely didn't run relay at track.
Yes. You understand what I'm saying. And this is what we want to create in our families. And what I hope that even this one thing that this podcast episode does is create a desire in whole families to be that for each other over generations and generations, or at least all the generations that we are able to touch.
Yeah. Well, and more than ever, we need strong families to be unified. And I think that's going to do it for today, because I think if we go any more, we might say something. I want to go through these points, but before we do.
Oh, I just want to make sure you read that verse at the end.
I was going to.
Beginning, because I don't want to miss that, because that's the memory verse for this podcast.
Memory verse for this week. So let me remind you, we need to turn to each other, not against each other. Number two, we need to hear each other with compassion, not judgment. Number three, we need to sacrificially help each other through this hard time, not withdraw into self-centered seclusion. And because we love you, Phil, and we love this verse, 1 Corinthians 16, 14. Everything you do must be done with love. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.